is after a lot of prayer and just kind of waiting on the Lord to answer. And so we chose the book of Matthew because we believed God was saying, you guys are in a season of renewal and sifting and transformation. And you need to take a look at the foundation, because here's what I'm aware of. You and I are the product of the lessons taught to us, not only through the scriptures, but people, cultures, denominations, our parents, friends, our culture. We're the result of all those things. And so it's very important at times that we go back to the scripture, we go back to the Lord, we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit in such a way that he would teach us and reveal to us what we've been learning wrong or believed wrong. And that's why the book of Matthew, we needed to go back and see what Jesus said and what Jesus did. Because, you know, if you're new here, I'm really glad you're here. And hopefully by doing a continuation like this, I don't lose you in the process, and that the Holy Spirit would make us of one heart here. But what we want to do, guys, I don't want to just go through the motions. Like, I don't want to just fill the time to 12 o'clock. I'm not here for a job. I'm not here to do church the best in town and just to say, wow, what an awesome church for you guys to say, or how entertaining are those sermons, or how amazing is that music. What I can't be part of anymore is that. I just can't, because, like, your lives from now till Jesus takes you home, and some of you, that could be a variety of numbers, okay? Some of us get 3 years, some of us get 103, some of us are, you know, 100 years old still shopping at Fry's on Senior Citizen Day, right? So who knows what's going to happen? All I know is we can't just sit here and do this, and we're not doing it right here at the Ridge. We don't have a formula that figures it out. There is an author of this, and that is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit that lives with us. And that's why Acts, guys. That's why Acts, because I don't want this year just to pass and us to be the same. I just don't want it to be that way. And so very seriously, I'm taking this and a lot of prayer. And, oh, man, I am not prepared to teach this to you guys. Just not. Because confession, I love to have the answers. Randy, I love to be right, if I could be right, man. I know. And I really want you guys to like me. You know. But that's not what it's about, right? The Bible's very clear about that. Am I worried about pleasing God or pleasing man? And so I have to come back to that. So grab your Bibles, if you would. We're going to get started. We're not going to get very far. And we're going to talk about something. Okay, you can see now. Some of you are going to want to run when you see this. The title of today's sermon is Baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is not a made-up Bible term like cleanliness is next to godliness. That's not in the Bible. This, however, is. We don't want it to be there, or we want it to be all about that, depending on your background. And so let's pray. Father, I pray that here's what I want, Lord. This phrase has been hijacked by our culture to have an open mind. But I want more than that. I want an open mind and an open heart. Lord, all I want is more of you. All I want is more of truth. I know that's why you came, Jesus. One of the reasons that you came is to testify to truth. And I also know, Jesus, that you said it was better that you go now so that each one of us would be given the Holy Spirit, that he would reveal all things to us, all the stuff you didn't get time to tell us. And for our generation, we didn't get to walk with you without the Holy Spirit. And so it's better this way. And so, God, I'm open to this. I'm open to what you have to teach us through Acts. I'm open to the fact that we could be doing 90% of this wrong in this church. And I commit to follow you, Lord. And anyone who would go with me, we commit to follow you and to be transformed and to be a people that love our Lord and follow him. A people that walk clothed in your power and protected and loved by you, God. And so I pray over this time that you would bring out in this conversation what you want, and in the coming weeks what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Acts 1, here's how it starts. In the first book, what's the first book in this? You guys studied this enough? Luke, right? It's the same author. They credit Acts and Luke. So Luke kind of continues on. So we remember where we left off, right? Jesus, you know, risen from the dead, came back. All the things that he claimed and said were true. Yes. Everything has changed because now he's been given all power in heaven and on earth. That changes things, guys. That's a lot. All power. I can't get that. I don't understand it. But anyway, things have changed. So in the first book, all that happened. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began, I love that, began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he'd given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he'd chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, let's stop there. First of all, let's talk about this. Theophilus, who is this, right? Who is this person that this letter or this book, you know, this letter was written to? So fascinating, you know. Theophilus, as it's written here, in Greek it means friend of God or beloved by God or loving God. So a lot of different people have different opinions, and some are saying, oh, you know how you give your kid a name that has a meaning? So could that have been, would this been a church leader that it was written to and his name just meant friend of God? Maybe. Honestly, you can read, I mean, when you look at this stuff, everyone has these opinions and then they start with their opinion and they use the scripture, it's called science, to prove their opinion, right? This is how this works, right? It becomes fact once you come up with an idea and you prove it. So some would say, fact, there was a man named Theophilus and this was written to him to carry to the church. Others would say this is a general term referring to all those friends of God. I don't know if it matters one way or the other. I kind of like the second one. Because, I mean, this is for you and me. And we even sing about that, right? I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Jesus said, you know, you're no longer my servants because, like, the servant doesn't know what the master is going to do. But for now, you're my friends because I'm telling you what's going on. You and I, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we become a friend of God. And so I'd like to start this book with that, that this is for you and I. Now let's quit being cowards. Let's get to this. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's the next thing it says. John the Baptizer, right? John the Baptist, what he did, and I don't know exactly the words he said, right, necessarily, but he would baptize these people for the repentance of sin. He would take them into a body of water, and he would baptize them. He would submerge them in the water and bring them up, and they would become one of his followers, and this was going on. But there was this prophecy to say, hey, there's one greater than him who's coming. And this one will not only baptize with water, but baptize with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now, here's another thing that I'm fully aware of. Some of you guys are afraid now. You think I'm going to start speaking in tongues once I say this. I know because people have asked me that. Others of you are like, oh, you almost got the Holy Spirit, Will. You're so close, right? It just depends on the heritage that you come from. Now, we love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? We love one another, and the Ridge is such an awesome place because, man, we have such a wide variety of faith backgrounds. And so that's why it's so important that we come together and all of us, even if you think you have this all figured out when it comes to the Holy Spirit, would you be open to more? Would you be open to learning more as we go through the book of Acts of how it is that the Holy Spirit's going to work in your life? Now, let's say you've never really engaged in that, that you were like those guys in Acts 19, right? What, the Holy Spirit? We didn't know we could get that. What if you're that person, could you put the fear down for a moment and trust that he who is in you is stronger than he who's in the world? And you could want more also? Because it appears to me this, guys, and here's what I observe as your pastor, as somebody who's lived my entire life in this area. Like, I walk the streets, and I'm sure it's the same everywhere. When I was in college, it was the same way there. We sing about our chains being broken, and we don't live with any power that could break those chains. We just get better at carrying them. And that's my job to you, is to help you carry those chains better. And then we invite everyone else who's unaware of these chains, who's just happy in their little circle, right? Running where the chains let them go. They're happy to do that. And then you make them aware that they have these chains and you burden them. And then you're like, you want to sign up for that? And then our churches dwindle and die. No wonder. Guys, we're missing something without the Holy Spirit. We're missing something without the Holy Spirit. So if you're like Holy Spirit adverse, would you be open? And we can all fellowship no matter where you are in that continuum. But I ask that we would learn from one another and that we would love one another. So here's why I feel like I have to stop. Why I have to stop with this is because we have the big fancy word is the presupposition. And that is like the belief that you're coming into this with. Let me just put it in will terms, okay? Whatever you believe this day, we've got to deal with that before the book of Acts. And I'm alarmed how many people, you know, pastors I've asked, things I've written. This is so scary and tricky because you guys understand we have a God that you can't put in a box, an unknowable. To understand him completely, to know his ways, to guess his next move is impossible. How do we know God's will? How do we know? The only way to know God's will is what? What's that? God reveals it, right? And how he reveals it could be a number of different ways. But when God tells you what he's going to do, you know. And when he doesn't, you don't know. Right? Spend some time in the Old Testament. Watch one king say, okay, I'm going to try it this way. Yes, it worked. Okay, next time, try it again flat. What? I thought that always worked. God had you figured out. I thought you were the God of doing it this way. No, 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 no. Paul. Woo, I'm going to go give this sermon. Thousands of people saved. Yes. Goes in another place. Same sermon. Falls on deaf ears. I thought I had this God figured out. This is what we do. No. You got to set a foundation with these people who don't have the Jewish foundation. Ah. Changes his approach. Thousands more. But you and I, we just want to do the same thing all the time. Right? In such a tame way that we can control it and understand God. Or we want to do it in such an out of control way that we feel special because we understand. So here's what I want to talk to you about after some prayer. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, okay? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, gifts of the Spirit. So this should only take like 10 hours, right, to go through all the scripture on this. So understand, this is the beginning. Like, there's so much that I'm learning, guys. Understand, the presupposition of will is this. Like, Holy Spirit, yeah, that's part of the Trinity, but not someone I have that much of a relationship with. I pray to God. This is how I grew up, okay? If someone said gifts of the Spirit, my first reaction would have been a step back. Let's just be honest. This is the heritage I come from because it's like, wait, I don't know. That's abused a lot. So I don't think I want to go down that road because there's so much abuse down that road. Fair enough? Maybe some of you had that similar experience. So now God didn't leave me there. He didn't leave me there. He's revealing truth and truth over time through, oddly enough, the Holy Spirit, right? And this is what I want all of us to do. I want more. I want to continue to know and grow on how to be one with the Father, how to live a life filled with this Holy Spirit. See, that term there makes some people uncomfortable. Just keep your mind open to that. So let me come back to that. There's a lot of different views. There's a lot of different views. But before we run into Acts, we need to ask ourselves a couple things. Like, first of all, what's written here, is this only something that happened in that time? All these things that happened, are these things that should still be happening or not? Are these gifts, these things that these disciples are going to do, should we be doing those too? Right? The methods they use, should we be using those methods? Are those dependent on culture, or do they go across all cultures and work? You know, has God changed? Has the Holy Spirit changed? Has Jesus changed? You know, what's Jesus' role? What's God's role? There's all these questions that we're going to go into Acts. How do we tell other people about Jesus? How do we follow Jesus in the face of persecution? How do we follow Jesus when a world and a culture is telling us not to, or to do it a different way and only halfway? So today, I want to ask you about this. So the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's a big question here. Do these still exist? Are they still in play? And, you know, everyone wants to talk about tongues, okay? But Paul was pretty clear. He's like, that's great, but certain proclamations of truth, prophecy, right? All these other gifts, some of these are so important too, and they can be overlooked. What about these gifts? Well, there's two views, so let's talk about this. The first one, the term would be that the gifts have ceased, like a cessationalist, or cessationalism, if I can say that right. This is the idea of this. Here's a definition, like dictionary definition. Cessationism in Christian theology is the view that the miraculous gifts of the Spirit, such as healing, tongues, and prophetic revelation pertaining to the apostolic era only, served a purpose that was unique to establish the early church and passed away before the canon of Scripture was closed. If you're someone that believes that the gifts have ceased, the opinion of that group is that was for that time. That what we're about to read here, what these guys did, was for their time, and it has ended. Okay? Does that make sense? That's their opinion? Like it or not, that's an opinion. Scriptural support for that, one of the things they really hang their hat on in that opinion is the verse 1 Corinthians 13, or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. It begins like this: love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what in part disappears. Can you see how from that, maybe, that someone would think that? Okay. Another scripture that they would give. And understand, what I want to do is present this to you, because there might be, it might continue to be both opinions in one church family, right? Okay? But you need to be informed. You need to go to the Lord, and he needs to tell you what's true. I'm tired of what your mom said and your old pastor said. Like, let's throw that garbage out, because I'm not going to force that on you myself. I want to give you this information. But how you read Acts is going to be very different if you believe you should still be doing these things, if God calls you to, or if you think you should not be doing these things because it ceased. Huge, guys. That changes this book completely, right? Okay, Hebrews 2. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by holy gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The term God bore, like in the past, he bore witness. Like he wanted to start his church by these miracles, and now that it started, we don't need that. That's that opinion. Okay? Now, the other view would be a continuist view, or continuationism. Continuationism is the belief that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit taught in the Bible, such as prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, healings, miracles, etc., have not ceased and are available for the believer today. That's that view, okay? Scriptural support for that. 1 Corinthians, this happened, right? Once again, a letter to a church. So the church has been established. Jesus is already in power. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revelation or the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so that part. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So their opinion is there, until Jesus comes back, these gifts are going to be at use, right? That you wouldn't lack in any gift, and that they would be continual happening so they would sustain you and grow his church to the end. Another scripture that they would use. Acts 2, verse 5 says, or I'm sorry, 15. I deleted that one there. This is Pentecost, okay? The disciples there all of a sudden speaking in tongues. But these tongues are foreign languages that are understood by the people in the crowd, right? And afterwards, they're accusing, what's going on? Are these people drunk? Why are they talking like this? So 15 says, then, right, Peter gets up there. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even my servants, both men and women, will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So there the point is the last days. Didn't say like the second to last days, and then in the last days, nothing. Right? So that's that point. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 says this, love never fails. Same verse again. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what in part disappears. Interesting, right? Both sides would use the same verse. Well, if you look at that, it's saying that these parts are necessary until the full comes. And the belief would be that the full comes when Jesus comes back. Because you and I still don't have the complete picture. Frankly, we're clueless. Right? No matter how much we study that, we can just argue with one another. Until Jesus comes back, sets all things new, right? Brings all truth, gives all revelation. We still need the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us. We're still growing a church here. We still have people who don't believe, who need to believe. We still have people who are fighting against powers of evil and darkness, so we need the power of God in us to defeat that. I mean, it's obvious to you which one I believe, right? You guys have heard me talk enough. I was, as a child, probably more of someone who believed that things had ceased. Now, as a man, I believe that things are continuing. I can't force that opinion on you, but if you look at that, there's a couple things that are just huge. I mean, the same evidence. I don't think a cessationalist view is a biblical view. I think it's a man-taught view. I just do. I think they're biblical. I mean, I looked into this, right? And I'm like, that's weak. It's really weak to me, to be honest with you. And I think what I've observed, okay, in the scripture, what I've observed is this, that without the power of God, and that's the whole thing that's happening in Acts, he's saying, wait. Like, do not go and do this until you're clothed from power on high, until you have the Holy Spirit in you. Because how is that working, guys, in our culture when our own will is what drives us? This is why most of our New Year's resolutions are already dead 7 days in, right? Because the Holy Spirit is that power to do the things we should do and the direction to do it. We love him to be the direction. We forget that he's the power. And so when it doesn't work, right, there's the Holy Spirit right there like a bird descending from the heavens. But I'll tell you what, okay, as a young man, the power to get things done was on me. this is the biggest testimony for me. The power to get things done was on me. Because I had a God and a Holy Spirit who would tell me what to do and guide me and convict me. But he wasn't really a powerful source or a comforter source. So the power was on me and the other people around me. And the comfort was on the things around me as well, right? Does that make sense, how you come to that view? Now, it's very different if I'm facing addiction or habits that I want to break. Or if I want a transformation of my mind, self-affirmations are not going to do it because there are things that trigger these belief systems and these behaviors in me. Some sort of supernatural transformation has to happen. But if I believe that these supernatural things have ceased, I've slit its throat, and there's no power in our God anymore, at least for you today. So, like it or not, I'm just telling you, like, I'll preach this as though these gifts have not ceased. Okay? And if you've got evidence that tells me otherwise, please, man, I want more and I want to be right. I want more and I want to believe what's right. Because for right now, for now we know in part. I pray to God 3 years from now, if I'm standing up here in front of you guys, God willing, and the creeks don't rise, as they used to say, right? That I am closer to God. See, John 14:26 said this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I've said to you. If he was done, the first part wouldn't be there. If he was done, his whole job would be to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus taught us. No, he is still teaching you and I. Do you read it different? I mean, maybe a little bit, but he's still teaching us, guys. If we really want to follow him, we need to keep in mind the Holy Spirit. We need to give the Holy Spirit the love and the respect, right? As the entity that he is. It's not just, okay, God, I'm going to talk to you and ignore the Holy Spirit. I guess someone doesn't like us talking about this, huh? It's good news. We're on the right way. Hey, there you go. That's good. So let me say now this, baptized in the Holy Spirit. You want to look this up, guys? It's crazy, man, the different people that things that people believe. Some people, they want to edit it out of the Bible, right? Because it's hard to explain. Some people have been pastors a long time. I talk to them, and they're like, especially if they pastor, you know, a congregation that's more conservative spiritually, they'll be like, I don't know. I'm like, well, dude, how did you get away with like 20 years without talking about this? You know what I mean? You can, and I want to punch it in the face. I want to go right at it, okay? I don't want to be that nervous. I want to be courageous. I don't want to be afraid because I don't understand all that is. I don't have the answer for you in this. Is it like some people said, okay? Is it like a mistranslation or something because they're translating it out? I can't give that any weight because that's foolishness. Okay, is it a saving event, right? Pentecostal brothers and sisters that I know, some of them have had some really bad experiences where they were like, okay, one, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to be saved, and then you must do it now, and stories of them being locked in classrooms and in their rooms by their parents until they would speak in tongues to signify they were baptized in the Holy Spirit to show they were saved. I mean, that's clearly an abuse of what the Scripture says, right? Right? Clearly an abuse of what the Scripture says. And then other groups where they're saying, okay, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, what he was talking about here is salvation. Some people say that. Some people say, no, it's an extraordinary event that's not salvation. It comes after salvation, and it has to do with a one-time filling of the Holy Spirit. An indwelling of the Holy Spirit where he lives in you and he's there forever. And then other people would say it can happen many times, and what it is two separate things. There's an indwelling and then a filling. Okay. So does that make sense? Some people were saying, okay, this is actually a salvation event. Like, you weren't saved until this happens. The other camp says you were saved, right? And there's probably some missing here, but to give you some main ones, some are saying when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's subsequent, right? Some are saying, okay, look at Acts 19. Peter comes up to these guys. He meets these disciples, these brothers and sisters. Hey, so you guys have the Holy Spirit? And they're like, Holy Spirit? No, we never heard of that. And he said, oh, yeah, you're supposed to get that. We didn't even know we were supposed to get that. Well, how are you baptized? We were given the baptism of John. And then there they ask for the Holy Spirit. He puts his hands on them, and they receive the Holy Spirit. Was that the saving event, or was it before? I mean, there's endless questions, guys. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in the Scripture. Something we have to deal with here. Something we have to look into. So is it an act of salvation, a new birth? Is it automatic at conversion, right? Do you get the Holy Spirit indwelling as soon as you're baptized, as soon as you're converted? Is it when you say that sinner's prayer that people made up? Or is it when you get baptized? I mean, when is it? Like, I don't even have the answer necessarily, guys. I don't, because I don't know. I'll tell you what. I know that in the Scripture, it's a little bit alarming because some people were put in water and still didn't get the Holy Spirit. And when I was 9, I was put in water. And I did that to all 3 of my kids and some of you. And if I said, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, did you get the Holy Spirit? I don't even know. Because sometimes I've brought people out of the water and their faces, like something happened to them. And it wasn't near drowning, okay? And other times it's like my makeup, you know? So, I mean, it's just, and that's just the guys, you know? So, I refuse to think I have the Holy Spirit figured out in front of you to lie. But that's kind of why we're on this journey. But let me tell you a couple things here while I still have some time. Here's what's alarming to me. I always thought in terms of Acts 2, Pentecost, right? The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples and they begin speaking in tongues. And that signifies like the beginning. Now it was like, okay, now you can go out. Now you've received this power to go out and share the gospel. And I always think in terms of, okay, that's what happened. Because that's the problem here, right? We come to church, we're excited, we do an evangelist type of campaign, and everyone runs out and starts knocking all their neighbors' doors, and there's nothing with them to say. They haven't thought about what they would say, and I always joke with the sword, right, running down, let's get up! And just start running down, like, you don't know what you're even going to tell them. Like, you're supposed to disciple people, but what are you teaching them into? And so is that what was going on here? Jesus is like, wait, once you get the power will go with you, and when you talk to your neighbor, when you submit to the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you the words. And he's going to give them the heart to receive it. Now, there's one alarming thing. John, and you know, you may not want to turn there, but you can make a note if you make notes. Look at this, John 20, 21 through 23. Now, the time frame, Jesus is still alive, right? Like, he hasn't ascended. I mean, alive. He's still alive. But he hasn't ascended. This is not the book of Acts. This predates the book of Acts. And here's what happens. And Pastor Randy had mentioned this last week. And Jesus said to them, verse 21, peace be with you. Right there in this upper room. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. Wait. Like, he breathed on them and they received the Holy Spirit back in John. This makes it hard for me to think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that was the first time that the disciples received the Holy Spirit. Right? unless the translators of John really blew something. So that's a little something to chew on, right? So it appears they already had the Holy Spirit, and very obvious when you read through the Gospels that these men and women who followed Jesus, he spoke to them as brothers and sisters, as believers, as I'm going before you to make a place in my Father's house. It wasn't like, okay, you don't get to go with me until Acts 2. That did not save them. Acts 2 did not save them. They were a saved people before then. Just looking at the scripture. As some idiot, right, who doesn't know what he's talking about. If I look at the scripture and I read it, I see a couple things. What happens in Acts 2, this promised baptism of the Holy Spirit, wasn't the things that made them a saved people. And it doesn't seem to be the first time that they'd interacted with the Holy Spirit. I know some of you are probably like, oh, that's you're way off. Well, maybe. I'm just telling you biblical evidence right here because this is where I want to start. I don't want to learn from everyone else's experience first, right? Let's start with this, and then your experience can align with the scriptures, and then we're going to be learning and growing. So let's take a step back, though. Baptize. The word here, the meanings, the way it would be used would be to dip repeatedly, to immerse, or to submerge, right? To cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, to bathe. The third uses have to do with to overwhelm. So there's a lot of people who believe, and you look at that, and it's worded differently. Sometimes it says, is this a one-time thing, or is it a matter of being filled with the Spirit? That's a term that's used, right? It's kind of that overwhelming of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. Are those the same things? How are they different? I mean, these are the things I want to know. Because interesting, if you follow this, if those things are the same thing, you watch this track. Acts 2:41, that's where they're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Pentecost, miraculous testimony, 3,000 people being converted. Then again, Acts 4:8, Peter is again filled with the Holy Spirit and speaks with such power that the Jewish leaders were amazed at his boldness in spite of him being relatively uneducated. What, this fisherman? So it's again, the Holy Spirit fills him again. And then once again, Acts 4:31, the other disciples were praying in the place, and the place they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The effect of their fullness was that they spoke the word of God with extraordinary boldness. You see, these fillings, and I know some of you guys will disagree with me, but I'm just saying right here, not every time it says they were filled with the Spirit, did they speak in tongues? Not every time. Maybe they did and it didn't say it. But I know a lot of teaching would say every time you were filled, it involved in that. My experience is I say things to you that I don't remember saying sometimes. And you hear things I don't think I even said sometimes. And they touch your heart. And I know it's the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't maybe it was tongues, the way I speak. But I know that the Holy Spirit, as much as I want to put him into a box, you see this in the scriptures. Acts 6, we meet Stephen, who they say is full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And Luke tells in verse 8 that he was therefore full of power and did wonders and signs among the people. Acts 9, Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit at his conversion. And as a result, he spoke with extraordinary power. Acts 11, Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. And a large company was added to the Lord. Acts 13, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke to the magician, and he made him blind for a season. So what I see on the scriptures, guys, is the point is this. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's there. It's a thing, right? Like, whatever you want to call it. Right? But praise the Lord, it is. Like, I want that. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. What we see, right, is that initially here, the Spirit filling happened so that a lot of times the word used here is extraordinary things happen. God is glorified. People believe. People are taught. People are bold. This is some of what the Holy Spirit does. Miraculous things, powerful things. The Holy Spirit comes upon a person. They fill it up. They fill them up, and they do extraordinary things. So here's Will's understanding, okay? I have the Holy Spirit. I want to know more. I want to know more. I want all of us to have the Holy Spirit. Like, I want to make sure that when I'm baptizing people, I'm praying that the Lord will teach me the right way to do that and the right way to teach them and the right way to go about everything. Man, I want to know the right way. I don't want to do just what was taught to me and never know why or never understand or never that to be confirmed by God, if you will. Like, I liked having music before. We're going to have music after. You know why? Because I just think it works a whole lot better for worship. And people have done that before us, and they'll do it after us. But we've heard from God that he likes it when we do this. He shows up. People move. It moves in people's hearts. It's a great worship service, so we'll do that. Like that. You see, everything, I want to do that. Not in rebellion, but for truth. And for the power of God, because, man, I don't want our kids after us to turn to 18 and try to find power in the world because their faith is powerless. Forget that garbage, man. I can't be part of that anymore, you know? That's not what God has. I don't want to do that. So let's ask those questions. But here's what I know right now, January 2018, Will. What God has shown me, because I've asked him in this, I'm like, I felt the work of the power of the Holy Spirit, guys. I felt him fill me up on a number of occasions, not just once. And that feeling of being full didn't stay all day, every day. It came and it went. And he lit the fire again at a time. I felt the power of the Holy Spirit when I prayed over someone and they took their last breath as I asked them to leave, God to take them home. And he told me to pray in boldness, right? What happened? I don't know, man. I can't figure out, but it was fire inside my belly, right? Like that, I know that feeling. And so the way that I see this, guys, the way I want to walk this out is the Holy Spirit is here. He's indwelled in the believers who ask him. And then those who submit, he has this way as a counselor, as a healer, to go deep. See, because we have these doors and these locks, and we try to keep him out, and he knows what's in there. But there's something about inviting the Holy Spirit to come deeper and to bring out these things that are handcuffing you and these wounds and these injuries, and we'll do a lot of this too. We have to unlock those doors, and we have to invite the Holy Spirit who's here to go deeper, right, to the recesses of our soul and to dig these things out and to heal us so that we're free people, right? But that just doesn't happen because I said one prayer one day. Okay? It doesn't. And then there's the filling of the Holy Spirit because there's all this stuff here. There's my voice, the voice of the enemy, the people around me, the voice of God, all at play here. And when the Holy Spirit fills me, everything else is pushed out and the power of God can move in miraculous ways, right? And give me the power to see truth and to do things I couldn't do in my own power. But we don't know to ask for that. Because on one end, we're taught in a conservative way, don't talk about the Holy Spirit. That's weird, man. Don't. You're going to go too far. No. And on the other end, they're like, if you don't fake it today, if you don't feel it, then we're going to believe you're not saved. Oh, man. How heartbreaking. For both sides, for the brothers and sisters who seek truth, and like most things, I think the truth is somewhere in the middle, guys, somewhere. Right? I really do. I don't think you tell the Spirit of God when to move in you and when to fill you. He does that. You ask. Right? You don't never ask or just assume because it's 11 o'clock on Sunday that today he's going to do it. No. Right? I believe he works every day when I'm here on Sundays, but some Sundays I feel him so powerfully, and other days I feel like he's taught me and then I share. Even I, who have a job to do for him, can't tell him when and where and how to do it. And this is biblical, guys. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's like this, right? Like, man, you've got to have him. Like, today, I'm going to go into this. I've got to have him. I'm struggling. Take him into all your New Year's resolutions. Man, I want to stop doing this. There's this addictive or destructive behavior. And not in my own power, but Holy Spirit, now fill me up and give me the power to say no to the donuts or, you know, coffee, scotch, whatever it is, pornography, whatever it is that's got you down, that's got you enslaved. You need the chain breaker to do that. And I'm here to stop ignoring the chain breaker. And I'm here to try to understand in my life so I can share it with you and celebrate in your life. And when people see that, guys, like, man, you know what? If 25 of you never come back, I wish you would, because God's going to do something, man. Like, this last year was painful for so many people here. I know that God was sifting and setting something up. And whenever the Holy Spirit shows up, amazing things happen. And for a group of believers to come before God, some in fear and some in excitement, and say, I want more of you. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I mean, come on. How exciting is that? Well, I know, and some of you might be, and this might be left better for another time, but I think Ephesians 5 says this. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So this is an idea that it's a present, it's what it is, it's a present tense verb, right? And so it's very weird because it doesn't translate well. So a better translation might be, instead of filled with the Spirit once, it would be, but keep on being filled with the Spirit. Which is a cool metaphor for another day, you know, Holy Spirit, drunkenness, and all that stuff. We'll get there, but for today, consider that this command and that to the church at Ephesus is like, stop giving control over to things that aren't God. Which makes sense if there's nothing powerful, right? If God is simply the creator and instructor of you and tells you what to do and you do it, but he never provides you the power to do it. I mean, it makes sense why you do it yourself, right? No wonder we've been living that way. So I want to invite the worship team to come up. I know, I like exciting endings because I'm kind of a drama king or whatever, you know, but what I think is important is I love for us to have these type of conversations within the places where we connect, right? Whether you're in a family, a small group, a Bible study, whatever it is, or just even here in church, as we can spur one another on and being continually filled by the Spirit. Now, I know resistance to the Spirit is the quickest way to stop his power in your life. Now let me give this to you. You can dip your feet in. Luke 11:13 says this, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's pretty simple, right, and plain. I mean, Christmas just happened. I'm a father. I get this. This is hits home for me. I like to give my kids something that they wanted. And I'm evil in comparison to God, for sure. How much more would God want to give me? And that's the thing we got to stop doing. Can I lose my salvation? Am I predestined to be saved or not? How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? Can we stop the insanity? Why do we want to play how far away can I get from God and not go to hell game? Right. Like, why do you want to play that? Please, Lord, forgive us. Why are we so stuck in that? Like, even me, I catch myself floating to that. Like, well, where's that line? What? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Like, you can debate theology, but it's not about theology. It is about Jesus. Amen. And I want to stay so close to him, whatever happens, we're talking like machine gun style. We're just going to, and I'm going to hit it because I'm going to be so close to him. There's no falling away, if that's a thing, right? I'm going to ask him for the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't I ask him for that? Why would I see how far I can go before I lose my salvation? Why would I not want everything that he has for me? So here's what I want to end today. I want to pray, and I want to pray, and if you want to join me, because I want this, man, I know he's there, but I'm asking, God, give me the Holy Spirit and continually fill me with him. And help me to surrender to him. That's what I want to do. I want to stop pushing him out. That way every time I need him, that in my spirit, okay, I'm reminded to invite him. I'm going into this conversation or my household or the way I treat my wife or my New Year's resolution that I'm trying to do. Like, I want to do all this with the power of God, not the power of will. And so I don't want to play any stupid games. I simply want to ask the Father who would want to give his kid a good gift if he asked. Would you go with lights down for me? So Father, I thank you so much for your perfect plan. I thank you for creating me, and Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I know that you have all authority on earth and in heaven. And I pray over this journey that we're going to take through the book of Acts and as a church family and as our individual families, Lord, and we want more of you. We want less of us. And so, Father, I take a knee just to show my submission to you. I've tried things in my own power. And when we do that, some days we win, a lot of days we lose. And exactly. That's about how I feel sometimes, you know? So, Father, I know that you're a good Father, and so I ask you, Lord, now as we sit here, I pray for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would indwell in me. I open my heart, and I give you a place to live forever inside of me. You are the Lord my God. Holy Spirit, you are my comforter, my counselor, my intimate ally, and the one that gives me power to do all the things that God asked me to do. And so I ask you, Father, please give me the Holy Spirit to live in me. And Lord, as we sing, I pray that you would just fill us with your Spirit, that we would sing out like never before, that you'd give us the power to worship you. As you say, we don't even know how to worship you or love you without your love. So lead us as we pray. Thank you, Jesus.